Welcome to Zichu Dav Siman, Memory of Ram Golder, and today we're beginning the sixth in the Sechta, in this Dav Yomi Seichel Maseches Yuma. We're on Dav Beis, the first Perek Shivas Yamim. The first Perek has been dedicated in the Schus of Gitzel Zissel Bas Rachel, Hashem should grant her a Refuah Shleima. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the opening Mishnah states, Shivas Yamim Kodin Yom Kippurim, Marfishim Kohen Gadol Mebeiso, Lishkas Bar Hedron, 7 days before Yom Kippur, they sequester the Kohen Gadol from his house to the Bar Hedron chamber. The Gemara brings another case in which a Kohen is sequestered, citing a Mishnah from Par that states that 7 days before the burning of the Par Duma, they would sequester the Kohen who was to burn the Par from his house to the chamber in front of the Bira in the northeast of the temple courtyard, the Lishkas Besa Eben Haisa Nikris, and it was called the Chamber of the Stone House. It was called Lishkas Beis Ha'Evan because all the procedures for the par were performed with kalim made of dung, stone, or clay. The Gemara explains that because the Tevul Yom is valid for performing the avoda of the par duma, they would purposely render the Kohen Tame and immerse him in a mikveh, lehotz miliban shel tzedukim, to negate the views of the tzedukim who held that the Kohen had to experience nightfall and be completely tahor. The Rabban therefore instituted kalim made of dung, stone, or clay that are not makabel tuma, kiheka de lo zalzguba, in order that they do not treat the par duma lightly. Point number two, the Gemara asks what the source is that both the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur and the Kohen performing the avoda of the par duma are sequestered for 7 days prior to their services, and answers with a statement made in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. The pasuk states in the parsha of the Miluim, the installation of Aaron and his sons, Kasher asa b'yom hazeh tziva la'asos l'chaper aleichem, as he did on this day, so Hashem commanded to do to atone for you. Lasos, to do, elamaisa para. This refers to the avoda of the para. L'chaper, to atone, elamaisa yom kippurim. This refers to the avoda of Yom Kippur. For these services too, the Kohen Gadol must be sequestered. Now the Gemara asks that while it's understandable that the entire pasuk cannot be referring to the para, since it doesn't provide kapara, why not say the entire pasuk is referring to Yom Kippur? It answers that we learn from a Gezerah Shavah using the words Tziva Tziva. It's written here by the Miluim, Tziva Hashem Lasos, and it's written in the Parsha of the Par Duma, Zos Chukas HaTorah, Asher Tziva Hashem Lemor. This is the law of the Torah that Hashem commanded, saying, just as for the Miluim, the Prisha is required, so too by the Par Duma, Prisha is required. And point number three, the Gemara challenges Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation that L'chaper refers to the Avoda of Yom Kippur and suggests that it could refer to the Kapara gained by other Kabbanas. After some analysis, the Gemara answers, Danim Prisha Shivil Yom Echad, Prisha Shivil Yom Echad. We derive 7 days of Prisha for a one-day service, referring to Yom Kippur, from a Prisha of 7 days for a one-day service, referring to the eighth day of the inauguration. The Gemara is going to bring two answers why the Pasuk is not referring to Shemini Atzeres, which is also a case of Prisha of 7 days for a one-day service. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the opening Mishnah states, Shivas Yamim Kodim Yom Kippurim Marfishin Kohen Gadol Mebeiso L'Lishkas Bar Hedron, 7 days before Yom Kippur, they sequestered the Kohen Gadol from his house to the Bar Hedron chamber. The Gemara brings another case in which a Kohen is sequestered, citing a Mishnah from Par that states that 7 days before the burning of the Par Duma, they would sequester the Kohen who was to burn the Par from his house to the chamber in front of the Bira in the northeast of the temple courtyard, the Lishkas Besa Evan Haisa Nikris, and it was called the Chamber of the Stone House. It was called Lishkas Besa Evan because all the procedures for the par were performed with kalim made of dung, stone, or clay. The Gemara explains that because the Tevul Yom is valid for performing the avoda of the par duma, they would purposely render the Kohen Tame and immerse him in a mikveh, lehotz miliban shel tzedukim, to negate the views of the tzedukim who held the Kohen needed to have shemesh to experience nightfall and be completely tahor. The Rabban therefore instituted using kalim made of dung, stone, or clay that are not makabel tuma, keheka de lozalzguba, in order that they do not treat the par duma lightly. Point number two, the Gemara asks what the source is that both the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur and the Kohen performing the avoda of the par duma are sequestered for 7 days prior to their services, and answers with a statement made in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. The pasuk states in the Parsha of the Miluim, the installation of Aaron and his sons, Kasher asa b'yom hazeh tzivu lasos l'chaper aleichem. As he did on this day, so Hashem commanded to do to atone for you. Lasos, to do, elamaisa para. This refers to the avoda of the para. L'chaper, to atone, elamaisa yom kippurim. This refers to the avoda of Yom Kippur. For these services too, the Kohen Gadol must be sequestered. Now the Gemara asks that while it's understandable that the entire pasuk cannot be referring to the para, since it doesn't provide kapara, why not say the entire pasuk was referring to Yom Kippur? It answers that we learn from a Gezer Shavah using the words Tziva Tziva. It's written here in terms of the Miluim, Tziva Hashem Lasos, and it's written in the Parsha of the Par Duma, Zos Chukas HaTorah, Asher Tziva Hashem Lemor. This is the law of the Torah that Hashem commanded, saying, just as for the Miluim, the Prisha is required, so too by the Par Duma, Prisha is required. And point number three, the Gemara challenges Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation. The Lechaper refers to the Avodah of Yom Kippur and suggests that it could refer to the Kapara gained by other Karbanis. After some analysis, the Gemara answers, Adanim Prisha Shiva Yom Echad, Prisha Shiva Yom Echad. We derive 7 days of Prisha for a one-day service, referring to Yom Kippur, from a Prisha of 7 days for a one-day service, referring to the eighth day of the inauguration. The Gemara brings two answers why the Pasuk is not referring to Shemini Atzeres, which is also a case of Prisha of 7 days for a one-day service. The Gemara brings two answers why the Pasuk is not referring to Shemini Atzeres, which could also be a case of Prisha of 7 days for a one-day service. All right, so now we go to our Simon for Daf Beis, and our standard Simon is a bias, a house. So here goes. The Kohen, who was sequestered in the stone house, full of stone and clay kaling for 7 days, with a welcome sign that read, L'chaper la'asos, was eager to get out for a one-day service. Once again, in slow motion. The Kohen, who was sequestered in the stone house, that must be on Daf Beis. The Kohen, who was sequestered in the stone house, full of stone and clay kaling for 7 days, which reminds of the opening Mishnah states that 7 days before Yom Kippurim, they sequestered the Kohen Gadol from his house to the Barhedron chamber, and the Gemara brings another case in which a Kohen is sequestered, citing a Mishnah from Par that states that 7 days before the burning of the Parduma, they would sequester the Kohen who was to burn the Parah in the Lishkas Beis Evan, the chamber of the stone house. It was called Lishkas Beis Evan because all the procedures of the Parah were performed with kaling made of dung, stone, or clay. Because a Tful Yom is valid for performing the Avodah of the Parah Duma, they would purposely render the Kohen Tame and immerse him in a mikvah, to negate the views of the Tzedukim who held that the Kohen had to be completely Tahor. The Rabban therefore instituted using kaling made of dung, stone, or clay that are not Mekabel Tumah, in order that they do not treat the Parah Duma lightly. So the Kohen, who was sequestered in the stone house, full of stone and clay kaling for 7 days, with a welcome sign that read, L'chaper la'asos, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan says the source, that both the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur and the Kohen performing the Avodah of the Parah Duma are sequestered for 7 days prior to their services, is from the Pasuk in the Parsha of the Miluim, the installation of Aaron and his sons, Kasher asa b'yom hazeh tziva la'asos l'chaper alechem, as he did on this day, so Hashem commanded to do, to atone for you. La'asos, to do, el ma'isa para, this refers to the avoda of the para, l'chaper el ma'isa yom kippurim, to atone, this refers to the avoda of Yom Kippur. For these services too, the Kohen Gadol must be sequestered. So the Kohen who was sequestered in the stone house, full of stone and clay kaling for 7 days, with a welcome sign that read, l'chaper la'asos, was eager to get out for a one-day service, which reminds us, the Gemara challenges Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation that L'chaper refers to the Avodah of Yom Kippur, and suggests that it could refer to the Kapara gained by other Kabbanas. After some analysis, the Gemara answers, Danim Prisha Shiva L'Yom Echad, Mi Prisha Shiva L'Yom Echad. We derive 7 days of Prisha for a one-day service, referring to Yom Kippur, from a Prisha of 7 days for a one-day service, referring to the eighth day of the inauguration. The Gemara brings two answers why the Pasuk is not referring to Shemini Atzeres, which could also be a case of Prisha of 7 days for a one-day service. So once again, the Kohen who is sequestered in the stone house, full of stone and clay kaling for 7 days, with the welcome sign that read, L'chaper la'asos, was eager to get out for a one-day service. Now it's time for a four-block back chazora. Daf Yotes, the symbol for Daf Yotes is a yacht, so here goes. The coin collectors on the yacht tour, yacht, that must be more on Daf Yotes. The coin collectors on the yacht tour are having a blast trying to figure out which chest a drop coin belonged to, which reminds us that the next Mishnah states, Moshe Nimsa ben Hashkalim v'Nadav, if coins are found between the chest mark Shkalim and the chest mark Nadava, which is for voluntary communal offerings, if they're close to the Shkalim, they should be deposited into Shkalim. If they're close to Nadava, they should be deposited into Nadava. Maxila Maxila Yipul Nadava, if they're equidistant between the two, they should fall into the Nadava chest. After stating more cases, the Mishnah concludes, the Akwal Hochin Achra Kar B'Haka, we follow the closer one, even to be lenient, mechzel, mechzel, lachmer. When they are equidistant, we are required to be more machmer. The Gemara explains that there are some who say that the reason that the Nadava takes precedence over Shkalim is that if the coins were deposited into Shkalim, they might not end up being used and become part of the Shi'ar HaLishka and will be used for non-sacrificial purposes such as repairing the walls of Yerushalayim. Others say the reason is that a coin found equidistant between Shkalim and Nadava is like the case of one who died after separating a shekel, where the lacha is that the shekel is deposited in the Nadava chest. So the coin collectors on the yacht tour were having a blast trying to figure out which chest a drop coin belonged to. And listening to the lecture on Meiser Sheni status of lost coins in Yerushalayim, which reminds the next Mishnah states, Moshin Nimsu Ibn Sokri Behemoth, all Meiser coins that are found in front of the premises of animal dealers in Yerushalayim are always assumed to be Meiser Sheni. The Tikkun Chatan explains that after the Regalim, people would not take their surplus Meiser Shenis home, but would leave them with relatives in Yerushalayim to spend. Therefore, it was presumed that the majority of monies found at any time in the year in front of the Sokri Behemo were Meiser Sheni. The mission continues that coins found in Har HaBayis are always assumed to be Chulin. The Tikkun Chatan explains that even during the Regalim, we assume they are Chulin since we go after the majority of the year, and the monies found during the Regal may have been lost before the Regal. The mission continues and says that monies found elsewhere in Yerushalayim are assumed to be Meiser Sheni during the Regalim and Chulin the rest of the year. So the coin collectors on the yacht tour are having a blast trying to figure out which chest a drop coin belonged to, and listened to the lecture on Meiser Sheni status of lost coins in Yerushalayim, until the waiter told him he couldn't recall if the fleishik dinner he served them came from the kosher store or the nine treif ones. Which reminds us that in the midst of a discussion regarding sveikas, the Gemara brings a brisa that teaches, if there are nine stores in town that sell nevela meat, and one store is selling shechta meat, if one bought meat from one of the stores but doesn't know which, he must be concerned for the possibility that he bought nevela. The Karban 8 explains that concerned means that the matter is not definite. He cannot eat the meat in question because it's possibly nevela, but he would not be chai malchus since it's not definite. This is based on the rule of kol kavul kamechsel mechsedami. Whatever is fixed in its place is treated as 50-50, so that the minority is treated as making up half of the total amount. The Gemara continues, Lenim says, hochen acharo, but where the meat was found in the street, and it cannot be determined from which store it came, we follow the majority. The Karban HaEid explains that since the majority of stores sell nevela, the found meat is assumed to be nevela, and one who eats it is chayav malchus. Dav Chaf, so the Simmer Dav Chaf is a cafe, so here goes. The cafe, that must mean we're on Dav Chaf. The cafe came under attack from vultures scooping down and taking patrons' meat and dropping meat in its stead, which reminds the Gemara relates when Rav went down to Bava, Chamsum, Mekilin, Vachamralan, and he saw them acting leniently, so he ruled stringently for them. And one of the incidents brought, a servant was walking in the street carrying meat when a vulture came and snatched it from him and then cast it down in another place. The person went back to that other place to retrieve his meat and wanted to take it. Rav said to him, it's forbidden for you to eat that piece. For I say that perhaps the vulture had been carrying the meat of a nevela and cast it down, and it took that piece that was yours with it. Rav's ruling is based on the prohibition of basar shenizal min ha'ayin, meat that was hidden from the eye, on account of the concern that perhaps the meat was exchanged with a similar piece of non-kosher meat. So the cafe came under attack from vultures scooping down and taking patrons' meat and dropping meat in its stead, and attracted the attention of lost male and female sheep near Yerushalayim. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that a behemah found between Yerushalayim and Migdal Eder, which is an area near Beis Lechem, or at that distance from Yerushalayim in any direction, Zecharim Olos, males are to be treated as Olos, Nekevos Zivchei Shlamim. Females are to be treated as Shlamim offerings. Rabbi Yudah says, Harui Pesachim Pesachim Kodma Regal Shoshim Yom, that which is fit for a Pesach is to be used for a Pesach if it's found 30 days or less before the Regal. The Karban HaEid explains that if the animal was a male sheep or goat within its first year, it's assumed to have been consecrated as a Pesach since the public study of Hilchos Pesach begins 30 days before the Chag. The Tanna Kamma, however, holds that people are especially careful with their Pesach offerings, so there's no concern that this lost animal might be one. So the cafe came under attack from vultures scooping down and taking patrons' meat and dropping meat in its stead, and attracted the attention of lost male and female sheep near Yerushalayim, when it made its delicious dough bread that was baked, fried, and baked again in honor of its opening day. Which reminds the Gemara discussed the Minchas Chavitin, a special mincha that's brought by Kohen the first time he performs the Avodah and brought daily by the Kohen Gadol. The pasuk states regarding its preparation, on a griddle with oil it shall be made, scalded shall you bring it, tufine, baked, minchas pitim, takriv reich nechoach Hashem, a mincha offering broken to pieces, you shall offer it as a satisfying aroma to Hashem. The Gemara brings some halachos about when the dough is baked. The Tanna Kamma says, tufine tafena noa. The word tufine means they shall be baked after they are partially cooked. The partial cooking is the frying of the dough. Rebbe says, tafena noa, they shall be baked while still attractive. The Tikkun Chatan explains it should be baked before frying, since frying blackens them and makes them less attractive. Rabbi Dosa says, tafena riba, they shall be baked a lot. The Tikkun Chatan explains that Rabbi Dosa holds the requirements of both Tanaim, and they are baked twice, once before frying while the dough is still attractive, and then baked again after being fried when partially cooked. Dav Chafalv, so the Simver Dav Chafalv is a car pronounced ka by people from Boston. So here goes. The ka, that must mean we're on Dav Chafalv. The Ka, with the announcement sign that the Rabbanan instituted no more Me'ilah on Parah Duma ashes, which reminds the Mishnah Dav Chaf Amud Aleph stated that the sixth of the seventh Tanai Basin was, regarding the Parah Duma, that there should not be Me'ilah when using its ashes. Now Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman said in the Rabbi Yochanan that it would seem from the Mishnah that Midoraisa the ashes should be subject to Me'ilah, but the Rabbanim were gozer, they should not be. This contradicts a brisa that states that the rice of the parah itself is subject to meal, but not its ashes. So Rabbi Elbo answered that at first, since the ashes were not subject to me'ilah, people would debase it and put it on their wounds for medicinal purposes. The Rabbanim therefore decreed that the ashes should be subject to me'ilah, the Rabbanim. Once the decree accomplished its purpose and people became restrained in using them, the Rabbanim were gozer that the ashes should not be subject to me'ilah, following the deraisa din. So that Ka, with the announcement sign that the Rabbanim instituted no more me'ilah on Paraduma ashes, and that waded through the spittle-ridden, blood-filled upper marketplace where wild donkeys were speared, which reminds us that the opening mission of the 8th Perek states that according to Rabbi Meir, all spittle that's found in Yerushalayim is presumed tahor, except for that what's found in the upper marketplace. Now regarding the upper marketplace, Rabbi Avin said in the Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that there was a laundry operated by Nachim there, and since Nachim are deemed to have the tumah of Zavim, which means their spittle is tameh, and the upper marketplace is frequented by many Nachim, any spittle found there was considered tameh. Rabbi Chanina said they used to spear wild donkeys there. Since the butchers were Nachim, their spittle was considered tameh. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said that just as they were spearing wild donkeys to feed the lions in the king's military, the only regalim were passing through on their way to Yerushalayim, and they waded knee-deep in the blood. The Rabban didn't tell them to refrain from appearing in the base of Migdash. So we see from here that Dam Nevela does not convey Tumah. The Gemara begins a lengthy discussion regarding the status of Dam Nevela. So the Ka, with the announcement sign that the Rabban instituted no more Me'ilah on Parduma ashes, and that waded through the spittle-ridden and blood-filled upper marketplace where wild donkeys were speared, was full of horrified women on their way to embroider and design the parochas, which reminds us. The Gemara addresses the different descriptions for the handiwork of the parochas. One pasuk states, it's Maisa Rokem, a work of an embroiderer. And another pasuk states, it was Maisa Choshev, the work of a designer. And the difference is that the work of the embroiderer has only one face, whereas the work of a designer has two faces. Rabbi Yudin and Rabbi Nechemi disagree about what this means, one face and two face. One says, Maisa Rokem means the fabric had a line embroidered on one side and was blank on the other. Therefore, it was only one face, whereas Maisa Choshev had a line woven on each side, and therefore it was two faces. The other one said Maisa Rokem had a line embroidered on each side. The Tikkun Chatan explains that one face here means the identical face. Maisa Choshev had a line embroidered on one side and an eagle woven on the other side, and that's why it was described as having two faces. Dav Chav Beis, so the Zimra Chav Beis is a cab. So here goes. The enthusiastic cab driver, that must be more Dav Chav Beis. The enthusiastic cab driver who just consecrated a shekel and bikurim, which reminds the last mission of the Masechta states, the shkalim bikurim eino nohagim el mifnei abayis. The mitzvahs of shkalim bikurim apply only when the base of mikdash exists. Aval meiser dagan, meiser behema, bechoros nohagim ben mifnei abayis, ben shlo mifnei abayis. But the grain tithe, animal tithe, and bechor offerings apply when the base of mikdash exists and when it does not. The Tikkun Chatan explains that after the churban of the base of Migdash, the land did not lose its kedusha. Therefore, all mitzvahs that are dependent on the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, including trumas and maisus, remain in effect. The Rosh explains that the law of bechorah offerings continue to apply, since the bechorah is automatically sanctified from birth. The Mishnah concludes, "Hamakdish kolim v'bikurim harzik kodesh." If one was makdish kolim or bikurim, they are kodesh. Rabbi Shimon says bikurim do not become kodesh. So the enthusiastic cab driver who just consecrated a shekel and bikurim and was playing Rosh Chodesh songs followed by Shabbos songs, which reminds the Gemara, asks which has din kedima, Shabbos musaf offerings or Rosh Chodesh musaf offerings? Rabbi Yirmiyah said that Rosh Chodesh musaf offerings take precedence, and his proof is from the Lacha, that if the Levim have to sing both the Shir of Shabbos and the Shir of Rosh Chodesh, the Shir of Rosh Chodesh takes precedence. Rabbi Yosef refuted this proof. Rabbi Chia said in the Rabbi Yochanan that the Shir of Rosh Chodesh takes precedence k'dei l'farsim l'hodia shu Rosh Chodesh, in order to publicize and make it known that the day is Rosh Chodesh. The Tikkun Chatan brings Rabbi Yochanan's explanation from the Gemara and Sukkah that when the Shir of Rosh Chodesh is given prominence, everyone realizes that it was clear to Basin that Rosh Chodesh had been established properly, and no one will have any doubts about the matter. Rather, the Musaf Shabbos takes precedence over the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh because of the rule called Tadim Chavero, Kodim Chavero. Any mitzvah that is more frequent takes precedence over the other. Therefore, one shechs the Shabbos Musaf offerings and then recites the Shir of Rosh Chodesh over them. So the enthusiastic cab driver who had just consecrated a shekel and bikurim and was playing Rosh Chodesh songs followed by Shabbos songs didn't notice the big sign that said shekels today are not Kodesh and will be considered old. Which reminds us that after the Gemara clarifies that Rabbi Shimon holds that shkalim that one consecrated nowadays are not Kodesh, Rabbi Yehuda and Tudaria asked before Rabbi Yosef why Rabbi Shimon holds that money designated by a ger nowadays for his kinim are Kodesh, whereas monies designated for a shekel nowadays are not Kodesh. Rabbi Yosef answered that in the case of shkalim, one may not designate them in the first place, levisha mitzvah hakriv matruma chadash, because it's a mitzvah to bring offerings from the new collection of shkalim, and this shekel will then be old. Therefore, the Rabban ruled that it does not become hekdesh to begin with. But in the case of money designated by ger for his kinim, ein atzarei chadasha, new money is not needed. And so if he designated money for his kinim, it becomes kadosh. All right, now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which stuff to go in Rabbi Yochanan's source for the Prisha for Yom Kippur and for the Parduma was from the Pasuk of Lechaper La'asos, that's on Daf Beis. Good. Number 2. Which stuff to go in that when it comes to coins down between chests, the klal is that you go after the closer one, Lahakel, Mechsel, Mechsel, Lahachmir, that's on Daf Yotas. Good. Number 3. Which stuff you learned that the Kohen who was to burn the Paraduma was sequestered for 7 days in the Lishka's Beis Evan? That's on Daf Beis. Good. Number 4. Which stuff you learned that all spittle found in Yerushalayim had the din of Tahor except that which was found in the Shuka Elyon? That's on Daf Chafal. Good. Number 5. Which stuff you learned that monies found in front of the Sochrei Behema are presumed to be Meister Sheni funds, whereas in Har Abayis they're presumed to be Chulon? That's on Daf Yotes. Good. Number 6. Which stuff you learned that when people donated Eitzim to the base of Migdash, the wood was an Amma Geduma in length, so it shouldn't protrude into the walkway area on the Mizbeach? That's on Daf Yotes. Good. Number 7. Which stuff do we discuss the status of animals found wandering between Yerushalayim and Migdal Eder? That's on Daf Chaf. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do we learn that we derive the 7 days of Prisha for a one-day service, referring to Yom Kippur, from the 7 days of Prisha for the one-day service of the 8th day of the inauguration? That's on Daf Beis. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do we learn the difference between Maisa Rokim and Maisa Choshev in the weaving of the Parochas? That's on Daf Chafav. Good. And number 10. Which stuff do we learn about Yechezkel's vision of the stream trickling from the base of Migdash growing into a raging river in the future? That's on Daf Yud Zayin. Excellent. That concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.